listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April 12th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. Glad to be here as always.
As always, so glad to have you. Thanks to those that take the time to catch up with us live in the chat. Always appreciate your contributions. And thanks to those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. We appreciate you as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, Dr. Vicki, I think we were kind of talking about a few things, but I think we're going to have a more open discussion. But, you know, we were having a very interesting discussion about nature and the animal kingdom before the broadcast.
We sure were. I know tonight we're just going to have an open discussion. I know I had suggested in the chat anybody had any ideas, and there's a couple coming up, so we'll get to them. But so we're going to do cards, discuss, that kind of a night. I think we're overdue for that.
Yeah.
That kind of an evening. So
absolutely. I had to unfortunately refresh my chat and it cut off some of the prior mentions. I see that some people are throwing their names in that they would like a card this evening.
Yeah.
So Dr. Edwards is the first one I see on my list. I don't know if I missed anybody, but I'll start keeping track of that. But where do you want to, shall we start with talking about the ironies of the animal kingdom versus humanity?
Well, one of the things, yeah, and I know Dr. Edwards up first, we're going to choose a card for him right away, but one of the things Michael and I were talking about is nature, and we live on this planet where, as Dr. Kelly would say, everything eats everything. And there was a recent story about a 4-H group out of California. This is how Michael and I got talking about it too, is that the 4-H group was designed and built for young people to interact with animals, and eventually the contract is that those animals would, you know, go to the slaughterhouse and they get butchered. And a girl happened to be very attached to her goat and didn't want to butcher it, and they said you have to. So she had, you know, taken the goat home. They got the police to go get the goat. They slaughtered the goat. So now there's a lawsuit about mercy, you know, and when we inject mercy. And that's where Michael and I were kind of talking about how nature is kind of horrifying in a way.
Yeah.
And we all have to eat. So, okay, for argument's sake, you're a vegetarian. Well, then Michael and I were talking about how science has even recently discovered that plants grieve. You know, you prune a plant and it goes into this little song and it kind of cries, and how plants talk to each other. So I'm thinking, how far do we go in our sensitivity and our mercied because we have to eat. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not trying to minimize how a child feels about their attachment to this goat.
No,
not at all. It's just that 4-H is set up that way, and as we like to think we're evolving, you know, how mm-hmm. far do we evolve when we have to eat?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the big thoughts I had is, you know, oftentimes we think of nature as being this kind of peaceful balance, and it's, you know, not harsh like humanity, not doesn't have the, you know, kind of aggression that humans do, and we're kind of the big bad. But I also think about the fact that the worst aspects of humanity is our, you know, animalistic kind of human nature side in some ways. It's the more animalistic part of us, because animals don't care about the balance. The balance exists because it's been eked out through competition over eons. But, you know, a lion is not going to think about the ethical ramifications of its meal. It's going to hunt down the animal, and it's going to eat it, and the animal's probably not going to be dead when it's starting to be eaten. You can also see orcas, famous for, you know, kind of playing with their food. Sharks are great white sharks are terrified of orcas. So I think that it's these aspects of nature that, yes, there are wonderful aspects of nature, but there are also very harsh aspects of nature. And I think also, and the last thing I'll say before I end this rant is, I also think that it wasn't quite so long ago that human beings were not the apex predator and top of the food chain. Mm. It was, you know, we've had a period of time where anatomical human beings existed, because we've been around a long time, and there was a long time that we were on the menu. So I think probably those people did not quite feel so bad about, you know, slaughtering animals when they themselves were being hunted.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way it goes. And yet I appreciate, you know, having been on a farm myself and then 20 years as an adult raising kids on a farm, you know,
I mean,
that sheep that we raised, it was in the freezer, you know.
Yeah.
And it's those are the realities of being with nature, and it depends where you want to put your priorities. And there is a sensitivity, and I understand that, but we also attach, you know, our emotion to things in ways that maybe aren't realistic.
Well, and we have a luxury of doing that. I mean, we have the luxury of having, you know, vegans and vegetarians because it is not, we have an abundance. We are not starving. Now, there are cultures that are vegetarian. I don't know that I would go so far as to say vegan, but they also have the luxury, if you would call it that, of living in an ecosystem and in a part of the world where that's an option. There are parts of the world where human beings have to survive, and they do not have the option of being a vegetarian. But
and there's one particular province of India where they don't have meat.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't have it. They can't raise the cattle and so on. So they have learned what types of food to put together to equal the proteins in a vegetarian diet.
Right.
So it's also about, you know, what do you have access to?
Exactly.
Exactly.
I mean, like, you won't be able to do that on the Asian steppe, you know, or in the, you know, Arctic, where the Inuit have existed for tens of thousands of years.
Yeah, but it's an interesting kind of, it's an interesting thought anyway. It gets me thinking.
I mean, at the same time,
it's something I thought we could mention tonight.
Absolutely. And, you know, I would find it hard to slaughter an animal. I've never slaughtered an animal. You know, we'll see how long it takes me to miss a steak. But, you know, that being said, I think we also should be aware that, you know, we are more intelligent. We have a greater sense of awareness, so we can bring a mercy, and we do not have to make the animal suffer. And that's, you know, where I'll just get on my soapbox real quick and say that's where I disagree with the idea of factory farming. You know,
I agree.
Let's, you know, raise these animals, slaughter them humanely, don't make them suffer, give them a life, you know, where they're not just in the pen. But I digress. That's a whole thing unto itself.
I'm with you on that. Yeah. Hey, let's choose a card for Dr. Edward. You know, he's been away a couple of weeks. He was taking care of some health business. He says he's feeling much better, and we're glad about that.
Yeah, very glad you were missed. So happy to have you, Dr. Edward. And sorry to miss our card keeper tonight, Wendy. I hope she's doing well. I'm sure she's just busy. But let's see, Dr. Edward, for you, I have number 30 in the Service to Self and Others suit, Greatness to Deliver. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world.
And I have the Ace of Swords, Ace of Spades, in support of that, Edward. You know, it's success through challenge, basically, and overcoming a challenge. And maybe in these past couple of weeks, you've had your own little epiphanies, your own realizations. But I also feel like you've maybe got some ideas stirring around of things you'd like to do. So, you know, there might be a challenge in kind of, you know, tackling them, but it says here that you will. So I think you're on to something new while you're still in your healing mode. So I like that. That's encouraging.
Very it good. Is. Very nice.
Positive.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go right into Jamil, who's next, shall we?
Absolutely. And Jamil, tonight I drew a card for you, number 40 in the Life Skills suit, Relationships. I don't know that we pulled this one in a little while. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. Don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it is with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to the relationship of one thing to another.
Well, I got the Ten of Clubs in support of that. Basically, in my view, it's a, you know, you're feeling the burdens, but getting to the destination. Now, how that comes, how I kind of connect that with relationships is you might be feeling a little bit of pressure or anxiety or something, but you're getting there. So you just need a little more time. So it's, I also want to say here, because it's just kind of coming to me, a little bit of a healing that's still in place from a past. So once overcoming that, it's like the road clears. Mm-hmm. So I hope that makes sense to you, Jimmy. But it's very positive. You're getting there. The outcome is assured.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
And I think we would be remiss if we didn't point something out in chat, because we're here to solve the mysteries of life. And Jamil had put a very good question, and maybe we can, you know, talking about what we can think about tonight, maybe we can figure out that mysterious place where all of our lost things go. And Dr. Zach, he has the answer, and that's the dryer. Very simple. Now, I think that the dryer has a vortex to an alternate dimension where some of my things go, but, you know, I think that we can all agree that the dryer is the origin point.
Like where the sock went?
Exactly.
Missing sock?
Well, if I have a missing sock, I'm going to blame one of the dogs, and I'll be right to. But all right. And because my list is not terribly great, who do you have next on your list?
We have Audra next.
Oh, okay, good. I'm caught up. All right, Audra, for you, we got 16, Continuity of Life. Let's see, number 16 in the Existential suit. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin.
Well, I got the Ace of Hearts in support of that, Audra. And basically, I see continuity of life in the Ace of Hearts is, you know, that kind of going the journey and feeling good about the journey, even though, you don't feel like there might be any big highlights at the moment. So it's like life is good, carrying on with little kind of points on the graph where you'd say, oop, a little anxiety, but it's going on. And I think this is also indicating about making sure you have things to look forward to. So that's what I also see the Ace of Hearts is telling you. So there's two aces tonight already. And so think, even though things might feel mundane, they're good, but find something to plan and organize that you can feel good about. Maybe it's a little weekend away or something where it's a highlight. Mm. That would make you even feel more elevated, I guess.
I like it. All right. And if I'm correct, I think we have Tabitha next.
We do.
All right. Oh, Tabitha, we got wild card number 7, Hope. Always a favorite. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. When all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last fail-safe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope. Always love it.
Well, you know, Tabitha, I pulled the 3 of Spades, the 3 of Swords right now. I went, somebody's disappointed here. So I thought, okay, I better pick another one just to make sure. And it has to do with passion. So lovers isn't necessarily an intimate thing, but it is about passion. And I don't know if someone has recently or about to kind of in there kind of knock the wind out of you for a minute because you didn't see that coming, someone who has disappointed you. And what Michael is saying, you know, is stay hopeful, remain hopeful, maybe not about that individual, but don't become cynical that, you know, all people are a disappointment kind of thing. It's like, you know, you come home and you say, people, what, you know, and you just want to give up on them. But yeah. It's just saying, stay hopeful. And because your energy and your passion will come back. So maybe just getting knocked off your stool here for a second emotionally, but, you know, it sorts itself out. You know, we can't predict how people are behaving these days. I really do think something's in the air, Michael. I really do. It's like that stress. What if the WHO recently said there isn't a place on the planet that doesn't have plastic particulates in it.
Yeah.
And you think about the stuff that is in the air that we're breathing, let alone the food that we're eating, and some folks can't cope, and it's causing that erratic kind of, you know, moodiness. Aside, you know, we could talk about COVID technology and consequences and so on, but I really think some people are changing, and people we know, we didn't see that coming because we didn't know that was in them.
Yeah, You know, I have, I think that's an interesting point of view, but I have to think also about the fact that, you know, never before in history have we been so relatively affluent and had such relatively easy lives in the Western world. And I say relatively because it is just relative to 100 years ago, 200 years ago, you know, in eons past. We have more free time. And I think that in this age where you don't have the connection to the world. And I think that unfortunately, you know, struggle and a little pain in life does kind of bring that. You will find more people that are kind of aimless. And I'm thinking particularly of, you know, especially, you know, young men, especially in the United States, but you find it in many places in the world that seem to just not have as connection to community. They want an outlet. And I think when you see these, you know, just tragic events of mass shootings and killings, I think it is a desperate need for attention and to be seen and to, you know, want to feel something, you know, more substantive as well. Yeah. But
What I was seeing as this, you know, hope with disappointment and keeping hope and the passion, love, you know, and for Tabitha's case, thank you for clarifying. Her disappointment is that she just had a dear friend say they have cancer. And the friend is one of the healthiest people she knows, and she's feeling very lost right now.
Yeah.
So in this case, you know, cancer is that bad actor.
Yeah.
You know, and look, I'm not laughing at this experience. I'm just laughing in the face of cancer. I mean,
you have to.
It's brutal. And you just got to support her, Tabitha. You know, stay steadfast in your hopefulness.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your energy up. And look, if you haven't been through it, you don't know what to do or say. So just be a support. Just say, hey, I'm here, whatever you need. You know?
Yeah.
And that's that.
And so, that's a tough double whammy because, you know, you're grieving in a way for your friend because of their lost health and the change in life. But it also is a reminder of our own mortality and that something can happen at any time. It's a tough one, but you know, our thoughts are definitely with you on that. But, and also just real quick, I know you had said you're not laughing, you know, to make light. I think, unfortunately there are people out there that, because I'll laugh at dark situations. I'll laugh at, what some would consider inappropriate things, but I would also point out that to use humor and laughter is one of the best ways to cope with a very dark and serious world, and it's how we can process things. So don't beat yourself up if you have a dark sense of humor at times, Tabitha, either. I don't know if that's your thing, but if it is, don't be ashamed of it.
You have to. It's like I said, my ordeal is still something to do. You know, I guess I needed something to do, but I'm not minimizing the trauma, not a bit,
because
it is scary. So, Kevin. I think is next. All right,
that's what I have as well. All right, Kevin. So happy to have you with us again. We have number two in the Life Leadership Paragon suit: esteem and validation. All right. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. That is what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard that you give yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
I got the Seven of Diamonds, Kevin. Esteem, validation, and now I want to basically kind of address that difference between confidence and self-certainty, because as you move forward, the success is assured, and there is this reaping the benefits. That's what the Seven of Diamonds is. It's like that, the harvest thing. So understanding something in yourself, confidence is external, self-certainty is internal. Follow your intuition, follow your sensitivity, follow your good thinking. And it's like there's some really good things right around the corner for you. You're going to start to reap the benefits of the work that you're putting out. I really feel like you're getting on solid ground again, Kevin, and you're going to be able to like walk on solid ground now. Whatever that means to you. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good.
All right. And then
Zachary,
I think our
Smith.
Yeah, and I think he's our last card if I have that right. All right. We have number 35. It's in the Service to Self and Others suit. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy. Good one.
Well, that one planet, one destiny. I selected Zach Smith, the Page of Swords. So the page is the communicator. So this is saying to me, you might be challenged with something you don't believe in, or one that you believe is against your ethics, and how you respond. Well, I said I got to choose another card here to support that. What's the story? And it's the Jack of Hearts. So that Jack of Cups is Basically, stay firm and quiet in your own beliefs, even when they're challenged with, let's say, a bad behavior or an unethical kind of, you know, situation. Or people blurt out stuff and you just have to shake your head, you know. So stay firm and from your heart. Just don't let other people infect you. I will say, though, sometimes silence seems to give permission. So you might just say in response, I disagree, and leave it at that. But don't let it throw you off your game, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So that's good.
That's a good message. Good message.
It is.
And, you know, we appreciate the feedback in chat, too. Kevin had pointed out that he really appreciated that message of hope and the uplifting message, I should say. It's been a dark week, and I know that Kevin, you've mentioned going through some things in the past too. So, you know, thoughts are with you as well. So, hope things are getting on the right track. And Zach Smith, hope that connected too. And I think that we have a couple more names.
Yeah, I know.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke. But
we have Dr. Mike stepped in here and said he'd like a card. But I have to tell you, when we were having that conversation earlier about, you know, nature and how we all have to eat and so on, and you said you're not killing an animal, and he wrote in there, it depends how hungry you are.
Yep, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
It's
that's what I said. You know, I would find it hard to do up until I missed that steak real bad. Comedian,
you know,
I like.
I had very wise words from a friend of mine. I used to raise chickens all the time. I never butchered anything, but I can clean it. Once it's deceased, I'm good. Mm-hmm. But I happened to have a chicken that was beat up by another chicken and broke her neck, but she's still alive. So I didn't have anybody around at the time, so I knew that I had to take care of this myself. And a friend of mine who raises chicken says two things. She said, make sure your axe is really sharp and don't look them in the eye. And I failed on both counts.
I don't really care about the looking in the eye thing, but
don't look them in the eye. PTSD about that for a long time.
Yeah.
But you have to do what you have to do. And you never know what kind of a situation you're going to be in. Where I've had a couple of other situations where it was kind of ugly, but I couldn't do it. You know, and no need to go into descriptions about it. But you're right, Mike. If you're hungry, you do what you have to do. And when there's an emergency, kind of critical situation, you do what you have to do. Mm-hmm. And we all have it in us to do that. It doesn't mean we like it.
No.
So.
There's a lot of things we do that we don't like, but it's part of existence. But real quick, it just made me think of a comedian. He was talking about his vegan friend was trying to talk him into that lifestyle, and she was like, look at this cow. Would you really want that cow to die? And he's like, well, no, I don't want that cow to die, but I also really want a steak, and, well, I can't take the steak without killing the cow, so, I mean, here we are. So,
that's right.
But anyway, for Dr. Mike, I have wild card number 9, blank. Always an interesting one.
Ooh.
Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
And in support of write the script you want to write, Mike, I got the King of Clubs. So, you know, the King of Clubs is the overseer, in my view, and he does like to bring change. He does like to be insightful. He does like to be a creator. And it's, as I recall, I'm just having a flash. You're retiring right away. And I think that they're...
This week.
Do you thought the same thing?
No, this week he retired. Or is retiring. I don't know if it's at the end of this week or already happened, but it's this week.
Yeah, so congratulations on that, Mike. So in that blank, and you being the King of Clubs, it is what you want it to be. I will say, though, for all the people I know who have, you know, come to the end of time with a job, you know, and in that there's a decompression time. It's that time where you just, you know, kind of get some sleep, get caught up in a few things, and breathe. And so once you go through that first month, especially of, you know, I call it the decompression time from society and the work thing, you'll be able to start creating. And I think you already have what this is saying. You might already have some ideas floating around about what you would like to do. And like, you're assured success here. It's like, it's going to be great. I see lots of laughter too. So there's fun things coming.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. And, I think Dr. Mike, a couple things. Tomorrow is the big day. So congratulations. Yes, I said people had to watch what goes on in the slaughterhouse. There'd be a lot more vegetarians, which I think you're probably right. But
I have a rule, Michael. For I can live with in good conscience, I always buy from locals.
Yeah.
Than from a slaughterhouse. That's just me, because I'm with you, and I think.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
That mid ground is. Don't buy that if you have to. Go buy this because it's more humane and. They've been out in the pasture, you know, they've had a good life.
I mean, that's the whole thing, you know. We're all against factory farming, we can agree to that. But but definitely early congratulations. Hope that it's going to be an adjustment, like Dr. Wiggy said, but a lot of hope in the future, too. So,
yeah,
all right. And I think our last card leaving is now Dr. Jeff.
It is.
All right, Dr. Jeff, for you, number 44, attitude and disposition. That's in the life skills suit. Let's see. Enthusiasm, or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive and ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
And I got the Eight of Hearts in support of that, Jeff. Interesting kind of message for you. The Eight of Hearts to me is like, you know where you want to go, but you're walking in the dark. You don't quite know how you're going to get there. So you have to completely rely on your sensibilities and your intuition, or that gut feeling that you have, you know, and one step at a time. You know, toward the goal. So, in other words, don't get frustrated if you can, or want things too quickly, or delay them too long. So, attitude and disposition really is that key in when you're like walking in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
have a good attitude about it. It's okay to be in the dark. We just don't know what things are going to come our way and how things are going to, you know. Kind of synchronize in the universe. It doesn't mean we sit back and wait. We have to go out there also. But if it doesn't feel right, don't do it. If it feels right, then you do it. So I like that card. It's just a reminder for you, Jeff. And, you know, we all need those now and again.
Absolutely.
So.
Oh, God knows I do.
Dr. Edward has mentioned in the chat a little message to Mike. It's hard to believe it's been 7 years in September since he retired. So, he knows.
And I think probably has some sage advice as well. But, you know, I got to say, I really love this dynamic that we have each week. And I talk about it every week, but I never get sick of talking about how much I love it. You know, we just have a great community here. Our card keeper, Wendy, she had to join a little late. She was getting her laptop set up. Which, you know, for me, I don't think that, you know, somebody who volunteers their time kindly and out of the, you know, wonderful nature of their heart, you know, does this great thing where we kind of see these patterns. I don't think they deserve a night off, but, you know, that's just me. But, no, we're glad to have you. And you know, the care, right? Because last week, Dr. Ed, we were thinking of you. Wendy was, you know, very much thinking of you as well. And we were just wishing you the best. So I love this community that we have. I love seeing you every week. It's just a treasure. And you know, I think we're going to start, you know, kind of wrapping it up a little bit. I'm going to, you know, fish for compliments and praise and, you know, none of it deserved, I should say. But I'm a little tired myself today. I had to take my foster pup to get spayed and I had to drive a good distance, a bunch of ways. So I had to be up early and come back. So I hope that you can forgive us a little bit of an earlier evening tonight. But this has been a wonderful discussion.
I don't know, Michael. You're not allowed to be tired. Like, what time is it out there in the east?
Oh, on the east coast, it's at least midnight.
Yeah, I think it's 9:35 where you are. Yeah. Hey, this is easy for me. It's 6:35 where I am. So we have that 3-hour time difference. And I know I have a daughter working out in Ohio right now under contract. And it's hard for me to remember that she's 3 hours ahead. So
yeah.
You have to synchronize those phone calls and touch base. So, yeah, no, Michael, you're not allowed to be tired.
Well, fine. I'm just going to go, you know, chew some coffee beans and we'll keep on going. Okay. But, you know, I got to
say. I was just going to say, as always, I truly enjoy it. I was telling Michael before the program, it's Wednesday. It's the only thing in my week that makes me, reminds me what day it is.
It's definitely a cornerstone. No doubt about that. But, you know, we talked about it before, too, and looking forward to next week's discussion, we're going to kind of talk about taking the long view. And there are a lot of different ways we can look at that, but I'm looking forward to talking about, you know me, I love history and tying things back to it, and I am going to be very excited taking the long view of humanity and existence. And when we think about, you know, what is it that we know? What is ancient to us? 6,000 years ago? That's nothing, even in the span
ancient
of human existence.
It's last year.
Exactly. With the way
actually,
things are changing
I think that is a really appropriate discussion because we do live in a instant gratification kind of world, and we need to be reminded of the long view.
Absolutely. So very much looking forward to that discussion. But for tonight, you know, I think that kind of brings us to our ending, albeit a little bit early. And you know, I've really enjoyed kind of getting into this discussion about nature and, you know, kind of the push and pull between what we are as human beings with our awareness and sentience and how we do want to show mercy, but also we have to be realistic about existence as well. But I have to say, you know, I do respect people that do make that decision to be vegetarian or vegan. I respect and appreciate that moral stance, but, you know, it's... It is a weird, interesting, and often scary world out there, but it's also wonderful and beautiful. But as we kind of close out the evening, Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts?
Are you kidding after what you just said? That's a way to end the show, Michael. Like, it's still wonderful and beautiful and lots of things that are good in your day. So hold on to that.
Absolutely. Well, until next week, remember to... Whoop. I'm sorry, I'm switching pages. We're professionals here. No criticism. But until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.